When it rains, it pours, but you didn't even notice. It ain't raining anymore. It's hard to breathe when all you know is the struggle of staying above the rising waterline. Well, the sky is finally open, the rain and wind stop blowing, you're stuck out in the same old storm again. You hold tight to your umbrella. Well, darling, I'm just trying to tell you that there's always been a rainbow hanging over your head. If you could see what I see, you'd be blinded by the color. The sky is finally open, the rain and wind stop blowing, but you're stuck out in the same old storm again. You hold tight to your umbrella. Well, darling, I'm just trying to tell you that there's always been a rainbow hanging over your head. Take off your coat and take a look around. Everything is all right now, 'cause the sky is finally open, the rain and wind stop blowing, but you're stuck out in the same old storm again. Let go of your umbrella, darling, I'm just trying to tell ya that there's always been a rainbow hanging over your head. Yeah, there's always been a rainbow hanging over your head. Mm-hmm. It'll all be all right.
Good morning and welcome to Plymouth Congregational Church. We're an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ, and glad that you are with us on Facebook live stream this morning. I don't know if you can hear the hawks up in the trees, or more likely the traffic out on Prospect Road, but today we're celebrating worship in the great outdoors, which is something that we usually do about a half mile down the road at Roland Moore Park. And today, we're also going to be celebrating communion, so go ahead and have some home communion elements ready. You can use bagels and coffee, you can use wine and bread, whatever you have on hand will work just fine. This morning, Mark Lee is going to be our guest preacher, and I've asked Mark to be with us this morning because he's accepted a post as the long-term interim pastor in a nearby state. And he'll be with us here at Plymouth until about June 15th, and then has some vacation time and starts there on July 1st. Can you close your ears for a second, Mark? Thank you. We're also going to be receiving a special offering for Mark to sort of recognize his 10 years of ministry with us. So please, if you would like to contribute, send a check as soon as possible to Plymouth at 916 West Prospect and just put Mark Lee in the memo. Okay, you may unplug. I'm sure you had no idea what I was saying, so that's good. We're also going to be celebrating Mark's ministry on Thursday evening at 7 p.m. And we would love to be able to do that here in our fellowship hall at Plymouth, but you know what time it is. It's pandemic time. So we'll be doing it via Zoom. And if you're on our email list, you'll be getting a Zoom link from us tomorrow in email. Each month, I write a reflection in the placard, and I write a reflection that gets sent to you by email. But I'd really like to hear from you, what your experience has been like in the pandemic. And so we're putting together a collection of short writings and paintings and crayon drawings from kids or adults, photographs, poems, whatever you'd like. But we'd love to have those by the 15th of June so that we can share that with the rest of the congregation. It's one more way that we can be connected. So and those submissions come to me at hal@plymouthucc.org. And then tonight at 5, Mandy Hall is joining with our teenagers at 5 p.m. To talk about the film Screenagers. And you can email mandy@plymouthucc.org. for more information about that. And then finally, there is a great crowd of witnesses slash musicians behind me this morning. So I'd like to welcome, of course, Blair Carpenter, our cantor, Bruce Ronda, who is not only our vice moderator, but an amazing banjo player and guitarist, and also Peter Strenning. You may not know that Peter is in charge of the chaplaincy CPE program. Here, which is a combined effort of UC Health, Colorado State, and I always forget the name of the agency that does Columbine Healthcare System. So thank you for being here, and of course, Mark Haskin and the four of us. So let's gather our hearts and minds together. Take a deep breath wherever you are. Feel your feet on the ground and find a quiet center as we prepare to worship God together.
Let us worship God together with our call to worship. And you may stand if you are willing and able, wherever you may be. We gather with God and each other.
We are near and far, solo and grouped, united by vision and voice and spirit.
Loving God, we hear your commission to share, even to be good news for the world.
Using all the unique gifts you've given everyone.
This time and all our places are especially yours now.
So teach us, touch us, heal us, feed us, and send us.
That we would grow into greater maturity of soul.
Since we know you love us, we will live accordingly.
Amen. Amen.
Grace for
good morning. Now is the time when we gather all of our young folks, both young and age and young at heart. So today is a very special day for two reasons. One is because every day is a special day, and two, because it is Mark Lee's saying goodbye Sunday to all of us. So Mark, would you come stand about 6 feet away from me? So Mark is saying goodbye to us. And sometimes goodbyes aren't always easy. But today we want to say a good goodbye. And so what does that mean? Well, the word goodbye evolved over time. It started out as Godbye, G-O-D-B-W-Y-E, which meant God be with ye. And it was not just a God be with you. It was almost a plea that God go with you and be with you. So that's a new word for today. And we say goodbye when people leave all the time. Like when somebody, like when mom or dad or neighbors go to the grocery store, we say goodbye. Or if they leave for work, we say goodbye. Or when we're with our friends and they say goodbye. But Godbye is a little bit different. And so we want to make sure that that Mark knows that we want God to be with him as he goes. Well, that's one new word. But I think to make this a really, really good goodbye, we need two words. So there's a Hebrew word called shalom. And shalom means wholeness and prosperity and wealth. So it seems only appropriate that when we say to Mark goodbye or Godbye, that we also need to say shalom, because we want God to go with Mark and we wish him the best, the biggest prosperity in the world. So we're going to say both Godbye and shalom to Mark. Can you all say it with me? Godbye and shalom. So those are two new words for you guys to learn and to use as you're saying goodbye to people in the most heartfelt way. So not only are we saying Godbye and shalom to Mark, we're saying we know that God has amazing things in store for you, Mark, but also the congregation that he's going to. Now, it's not like Mark's just leaving, right? He's been here for 11 years, so he's left his mark on Plymouth. But you know what? Sometimes we have to let those we love and care about, sometimes we have to let them go. So the best way to let them go so that they can fly is through Godbye and shalom. Let's say it again, because we really want this to be a good goodbye. Godbye and shalom. Mark, we truly will miss you, but goodbye is letting you go and to do great things, things that you have been called to do in your ministry. And while we are sad, yes, we're very sad, we know that this is what God is calling you to do. Let us pray together. God, we give you thanks. Oh, you know how I pray. Sorry. Sorry. I ask you to repeat after me. So let's start over. Let us pray. God, we give you thanks.
God, we give you thanks.
For all these years.
For all these years.
Of Mark's ministry.
Of Mark's ministry.
May he grow and thrive.
May he grow and thrive.
And may God be with ye.
And may God be with you.
For wholeness and prosperity.
For wholeness and prosperity.
In God's name we pray.
In God's name we pray.
Amen. Amen, Mark. It's time now to gather all of the youth and all of those young at heart for the children's sermon. So today is a special day, and it's a special day for two reasons. One, because every day is a special day, and two, because today is the day where we get to send Mark Lee out into the world, into a new job, into a new calling that he has. And so it seems only right that we give Mark not only a goodbye, but a good goodbye. So we all know what goodbye is. Like when our friends are leaving from playing, we say goodbye. At the end of the school day, we say goodbye. Or maybe when mom or dad or grandma or aunt or uncle are going to the store, we say goodbye. But the word goodbye has evolved over time. It started out as Godbye. That's G-O-D-B-W-Y-E, Godbye. And that literally means God be with ye. And the reason we say Godbye, Godbye today to Mark is because we not only want to say goodbye, but we want Mark to go with God, where God is calling Mark to be. So Godbye is not only God be with you, but it's a plea. It's a plea that God be with you as you go. Well, I don't think Godbye is enough for a good goodbye for Mark. So we're going to learn another new word, and that's a Hebrew word. And that Hebrew word is shalom. So shalom means wholeness and prosperity. And so we want that for Mark. Even though he's been here for almost 11 years and he's had such an impact on Plymouth and this congregation, we will miss him. But it's time for us to let him go. To let him go, because we truly believe that Mark is being called by God and because Mark has the gifts to take to another church. So not only do we say Godbye to Mark, we say God be with ye and go in wholeness and prosperity. So Mark, Godbye and shalom. We know that God has amazing things in store for you. Not only you, but for the congregation that you're going to. And while we will miss Mark and his gifts here at Plymouth, it's about letting him go so he can fly and do amazing, amazing things. So say it with me, will you please? Godbye and shalom. Godbye and shalom. Yes. So, Mark, we will miss you so much. And it's not goodbye, it's Godbye. We want God to be with ye always. Always. So, we will miss Mark. So, let us be together in the spirit of prayer. And as I pray, will you please repeat after me? So, dear God, we give you thanks for Mark.
We give you thanks for Mark.
For all that we have learned from him.
For all that we have learned.
And all he will do in the world.
And all he will do in the world.
We trust your call for Mark.
We trust your call for Mark.
May you bless him. And we plea that you be with him. Godbye and shalom.
Godbye and shalom.
Amen.
Amen.
Mark has requested that we read two scriptures today. The first scripture that we are going to read is Matthew 28:16-20. These are the very last verses of the Gospel of Matthew. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And from 2 Corinthians 11 through 13. More words of farewell from the Apostle Paul to the church in Corinth. "Finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. Put things in order. Listen to my appeal. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us wherever we are, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God.
During the course of worship and communion, we often name the people who have gone forth ahead of us into God's realm. And the stole I am wearing today was given to me after he passed by the family of the Reverend George Wooster, who was a tremendous encouragement to me in the course of transferring into the United Church of Christ, and was a great encouragement and guide to me as I navigated the bureaucracy, and who believed in my gifts and my skills. And so I honor George by wearing his stole with you today as I minister. And thank you, Carla, for that beautiful time with children and time with adults like me, and for preaching the first paragraph of my sermon about how there being different times of leaving and different ways of leaving. And the kind of leaving that I am doing today is kind of in the middle between the leaving forever and the leaving just for a while. The goodbye I'm giving you today is a midway goodbye, because I'm leaving to take a 2-year contract with another congregation. And Ivan is going to stay here and will maintain our ranch, and I will come back regularly to see him. And after 2 years, only God knows what God will then have in store for me. But change, even good change, is often perceived as a loss. And as I say, vaya con Dios to you today, it's with a mixture of sorrow and of hope. Today's texts carry that mix. Paul is signing off on his last letter to Corinth, a place he might not never get back to. And Jesus is trying to boil down years of teaching and boil it down to a slogan, something that people can remember. And so he gives them a great commission that refers to his great commandment: make disciples of every kind of people by teaching them to love one another. 3 years teaching in a nutshell. Now, when Matthew was writing this text, his readers were taking a victory lap of sorts. His audience was reading this about 50 years later, and they knew that this commission was well on its way to being fulfilled. A mix of persecution, catastrophic wars, and missionary zeal had spread Christianity throughout the core of the Roman Empire. Even before Paul wrote his epistle to the Romans that we have in our Bible, there was already a community of Christians in Rome, and that's by AD 50 or so. And as all roads led to Rome, so also all roads radiated out through from there. And in the ancient world, particularly the merchant and the military classes were amazingly mobile, and Christians were among them. Outside the empire, tradition credits the Ethiopian eunuch of Acts 9 with taking the gospel into Africa, and the apostle Thomas of founding the church in India that carries his name to this very day. Sharing the good news is in Christianity's DNA. The Bible reminds us that whenever anyone asks you to speak of the hope within you, to always have a word ready, and to do it with all humility. Sometimes we have not done that well, but at its best, it is one beggar telling another where to find food. I well remember in college being so engaged and enthralled by stories from visiting missionaries. And we would, after their talks, we would make zealous commitments to go wherever Christ calls us to go. All the while hoping that it really wasn't the ends of the earth. Because we wanted electricity and indoor plumbing. But still, that passion was partly what led me into parish ministry. And there were obstacles. I got tossed out of my first seminary for being gay. But then I met gay Christians who loved me and listened to me and put me back together, showed me I could still be Christian and be gay. Later, I went to ILF, and there they supported my reality and my call. After working in administration in Unitarian and Episcopal churches, I served for 15 years in metropolitan community churches, founding congregations in Fort Collins and in Cheyenne. I learned that following God's call is not an exercise in tea leaf reading, casting fleeces, or trying to see behind the clouds of whatever God and God's mind. I don't think God's will is this pinpoint thing that God coyly hides from us, and that if we can't figure it out, then our life is ruined. Rather, finding God's will entails listening to my heart, the advice of people I trust. Prayer and nurturing the wide context of my faith individually and in community. Trying some things and failing at them. Trying some others and succeeding. I deeply believe that God treats us as adults, asks us to use our mind and our heart and our community to weigh good things, and gives us choices between good things, and blesses us with the ability to choose to do this or that. That is, whichever we choose, God's will. For myself, I found that those times I've forced myself into something with sharp elbows and big ego, that those didn't usually work out very well. Instead, I found that God's will is usually unassuming, quiet, and straightforward. In my life, a great example of this was my call to Plymouth. After Julie Mavity Maddalena left as director of Christian Ed to pursue her PhD, I was chatting one day in Hal's office. I had been on the Adult Ed Committee, and then I'd been chair for a couple of years. And I knew that Plymouth didn't hire from within, so I hadn't even considered applying for Julie's position, even though at that time I was retired on medical disability, and that really grated on me. It really bugged me not being in active ministry. I'd been exploring the UCC. I had gone down to ILEF and taken some continuing ed courses of UCC history and polity. So Hal asked me one day, and he says, "How would you like to lead an adult ed program like at Plymouth?" And I thought, well, where's there an adult ed program like Plymouth? Is Greeley? Did it Loveland? Does Windsor have a program like at Plymouth? And Hal said, no. Here, at Plymouth. Wow. And after I got over my surprise, the ministry was off and rolling. And this has been such a wonderful ministry you have let me do. It's been so satisfying to teach, to manage, to learn, to explore with you. No, we didn't figure out the Trinity. No, we did not solve homelessness. No, we don't understand the Bible or Jesus or God. And yet, we have not yet even built the world that we know God is calling us to, that God keeps teaching us about, that world of peace and justice and welcome and inclusion and love that we know God is drawing us towards. But we have worked together towards all these things, and we are closer yet to that day than when we first begun. Now, I can't take credit for it all. I built on long-standing programs built by Alice Clark, by Julie Mavity Madalena, and many, many, many adult education committees. More deeply, the roots of this program come from this church's conviction that Christian formation goes through our entire life. It's not something that you just go through Sunday school and then you go through confirmation and you get a Bible or a diploma and you're done. No, you're just beginning. You're just getting started. We know that whether you are 9 or whether you are 90, in this church, there's always more to learn. There's always more to grow. There is always more yet to break forth from God's word for us. Sometimes it's head learning, that core of information about the Bible and theology and tradition. There's skills to be learned, weighing evidence, learning to read our sacred texts in their context, both their ancient context and their modern context as we apply them in our community. All that information helps to shape our beliefs. And yet we've come to understand that beliefs are only tools. Sometimes we build on them. Sometimes we change them. Sometimes we even have to unlearn them. Anybody for God as an old white man on a throne in the clouds? Or the Bible as a science book? No, we've had to unlearn that garbage. We realize that there's lots more to following Christ than just having beliefs about him. Beliefs are important, but they're not the goal. It also takes heart learning. And this is a place where you as a congregation have helped me so much to bridge from my head to my heart. You've played such an important role with me on that. And so we let ourselves, oh, what's that terrible word? That terrible, terrible word. My therapist is always telling me to say it. We let ourselves feel. To feel how the Spirit moves in our hearts. To feel how healthy community holds us together. To feel when we grieve and enjoy and fear and thrill. Now, a lot of this is caught rather than taught, but our formation programs help us to make good places for it to be caught. Honest and frank discussions. Walking the labyrinth together right out there behind our camera. Doing Lectio Divina, sacred reading in small groups. Listening. Listening. Listening so that we bear one another's burdens. The old Wesleyan question, how is it with your soul, is one that we ought to ask each other more. How is it with your soul? My soul is good, because I know that all of this knowledge and all of this heart would be incomplete if we just left with heads crammed full of Bible and theology and hearts all warm with fellowship and the presence of the Spirit, if we did not get our hands and our feet dirty. Some of the best times in our education programs have been when we've had a series on a topic and then it has grown into a ministry team for action. And social action has to be grounded in a fact-driven and clear analysis of the situation. Even more than that, it has to be grounded and sustained by our heart and soul, our spiritual practices, to keep on keeping on. You don't hear the Black Lives Movement people singing Justin Bieber. You hear them singing old spirituals. Sweet Honey in the Rocks, Ella's song, has shown up on my Facebook feed half a dozen times in the last week. And it gives us a window towards, I think, one of the goals of sustainable formation ministry. We who believe in freedom cannot rest. We who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes. Until the killing of black men, the killing of black men's sons, is as important as the killing of white men, white men's sons, white mothers' sons. That which touches me most is that I had a chance to work with people, passing on to others that which was passed on to me. A chance to work with people, passing on to others that which has been passed on to me. And there are so many of you who have done just that. Those of you who've led classes, organized forums, you who have tirelessly chased down political candidates for the candidate forum coming up this fall, those who reviewed books and then suggested them for classes, you who behind the scenes set up chairs, you who've dealt with the audiovisual in so many different ways, all of the people who've been parts of boards and committees and ministry teams and task forces and projects, the scores of people who make up the visiting scholar programs over the years, and good news, we've got a man named Eric Elms on tap for November to do an online webinar weekend with us. And all the details are still being worked out, but we've got that coming down the road for November. Thank you. So many of you enjoyed my classes and gave me encouragement. And some of you endured some of my less than stellar presentations. Anybody remember the class on Kathleen Ray Darby's book on ransom theory atonement called Deceiving the Devil? I loved that book. I was the only one in the church who loved that book. But you tolerated a whole study on it.
I loved it.
Oh, Jane Ann loved it. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yes, we had the same professor at school. I love to teach. And I love how you taught me how to teach better. And I love teaching with eager learners. And you have been eager learners. Such a blessing. Such a joy. Thank you. And then at a completely personal level, the love and the care and the guidance you gave to me, quite outside of my professional role, how you encouraged my continuing education, you supported my pilgrimages, you prayed me safely home from Jordan, you were patient when my health challenges would flare up and I'd dash out of a meeting on short notice. Thank you. You have made me welcome in your homes, on retreat at La Foray, and over 100 cups of coffee. You've let me into your lives and your hearts. Thank you. Now God is leading me into a new ministry. As an interim pastor in a medium-sized church, a long half-day's drive from here, I can tell you where in another week or so. So stay tuned. I'm about equal part excited and terrified. It will take everything I've learned in 30 years of ordained ministry, and it will take everything that you have poured into my mind over these last years that we've worked together, and it will all go to help that congregation. Thank you. Your impact goes far beyond these walls and far beyond this community. So let me end by remembering again today's epistle reading. Finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. Put things in order. Listen to my appeal. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Okay, maybe now it's a virtual kiss. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Amen.
Or as I like to say, God loves you this week too. Go live accordingly. And amen.
It is such a privilege to have had Mark as a colleague, and we will continue on with his legacy of adult ed. This is our time when we invite you to give of your treasure, because we know you are giving of your hearts in prayer, and you give of your time and talents. Let us receive our offerings, and let us receive together now our musical offering.
We come to this time where we touch the deepest parts of our tradition. And in communion, we're connected with people, not just through these cameras and not just in our homes, but with Christians in all times and in all places. So I would invite you to take a moment and gather the elements that you've got at home, bread and juice, and whatever that looks like is perfectly fine. What matters is what's going on in your heart. And what's in the table is simply the props and the symbols and the signs. All people are welcome to join us in communion. You don't have to be a member of Plymouth. You don't have to be a member of any church. This is Christ's table, not ours. And Christ never turned away anybody who came to it. And so, we welcome to join us in whatever way you can here this morning. So would you pray with me? We give you thanks, O great and loving Creator, for creating a beautiful yet complicated world, for placing us in it as stewards and participants. We are glad that you sent Jesus to show us who you are and how human life can fulfill your quest for justice and for peace. We thank you for gathering us as your church, bound together always by your Holy Spirit, and connected today by the ingenuity of human technology. Now, Holy God, spread your Spirit upon these gifts of food and drink, wherever they may be, that they might be for us the presence of the living Christ, making us one across time and space. Spread your Spirit upon us, so that like these communion elements, we too might be taken, blessed, broken, and shared, so that others might know the blessings of living in communion with you and one another. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and always. So remember with me how Jesus sat at table with us, and he took the bread, and he thanked God for it, blessed it, and broke it. And he served it to us and said, take this and eat this, all of you. This bread is a new covenant made through my life. So whenever you do this to remember me. In a similar way, he took the cup and he poured the wine, thanking God for it, and served it to us and said, drink from this, all of you. This cup is a new covenant made through my blood for you and for everyone for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink this to remember me. My friends, we have each set our table. We are each able to be nourished by the presence of God wherever we're at. So share the feast together. Let's unite our hearts and our voices in the prayer, unison prayer of thanksgiving that you will find in your bulletin. So let us pray together. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for gifts of bread and drink, friends and vision, work and rest. By these gifts we are nourished and renewed. Grant that your love for us will live through us, spreading good news to our neighbors clear to the ends of the earth. Amen.
Friends, we have come to that time in our service where we share our joys and our concerns. You can send your prayer requests to me at carla@plymouthucc.org, and also the Reverend Mandy Hall is on Facebook, also monitoring those prayers. So I do already have some prayer requests that have come in this morning. Barb Fraley sends in a prayer request for Les, who fell again this week. He went to urgent care, and he's taking some medication to help with an arm that he trussled. So he also received a shot of cortisone. So for Les, God of compassion, hear our prayers. A prayer request from Jean Carpenter says, please include prayers for Wayne Carpenter this morning. He spent the night at Poudre Valley Hospital after repeated episodes of high and low blood pressure yesterday. God of compassion, hear our prayers. A prayer request from Cheryl Wilkinson. Last week, I asked for prayers for the husband of my friend Jeanette, who had entered the hospital with significant heart issues. On Friday, they made the difficult decision to bring Mel home from the hospital for in-home hospice care. Please pray for Jeanette, Mel, and their entire family during this difficult time. God of compassion, hear our prayers. Mary Lou Theodore requests prayers for the daughter of a friend, Melanie Hurtman, or Melanie Atchison, who is scheduled for heart transplant this morning. Prayers for skill for the doctors and healing for Melanie. Also prayers for the family who, in their time of loss, gave this gift of life to this young mother. God of compassion, hear our prayers. So it appears that we don't have any prayer requests from Facebook or any other means. So, friends, for all of the prayers and the joys that we have spoken, and all of those that live in our hearts, let us sing our way into silence.
I invite you to unite your hearts together in prayer with me. God, who hears the cry of the poor and oppressed, you have always been with us when we were slaves in Egypt, when in exile in Babylon, when under the power of empires, despots, and tyrants, when divided into factions and set against each other. You are a God who rescues. You came to us in Jesus, who blessed the poor and powerless, walked the way of the cross, and invites us to join him. So we lift our hearts to you in these troubled times. You know the violence that has oppressed our African-American neighbors for hundreds of years, violence that changed legal forms but still kept them scared and poor and hurt and killed. Now we have seen with our own eyes how agents of government casually kill them and then provoke violence and harshly suppress peaceful protest. We've always known these things, but the scales have fallen from our eyes. We have seen how police, supported by our own taxes, managed by officials we elect, and armed with surplus from our bloated military, how they walked the way of empire, sometimes benefiting us and sometimes hurting us, but consistently keeping black people, brown people, queer people, transgender people, female people, poor people, and many other people disenfranchised, disadvantaged, silenced, and disposable. We feel sad. We feel angry. We feel confused. We feel guilty. We feel powerless. But we are committed to following you. Oh, that you would tear wide the heavens and come down. Give ear to the chants of your people. Let their outcry come before you. Save the unjustly imprisoned. Heal the injured. Cast down the mighty from their thrones and lift up the lowly. Fill the hungry with good things and make the rich share their hoardings. Give us eyes to see the truth of our society. Give us the hearts to bear that truth. Keep safe those who march, and keep us safe when we join them. Give us the sense to listen most to those who suffer the most, and then follow them with our voices, wallets, and votes. Give us Christ-like courage to use our privilege to dismantle the systems that oppress the many to the benefit of the few, even when we are among the few. Let us work for your kingdom as we pray week after week, lifting the prayer Jesus taught us as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As people who have been reconciled to one another by the love and grace of God, I invite you to share a symbol of being reconciled to one another. So wave at your camera, type in your chat, peace, virtual hugs, peace. Peace be with you. The peace of Christ be with you all. And amen. Join us for a virtual fellowship on Zoom just as soon as we are done here. So you'll see the login credentials on the webpage and in the comments section. So, God loves you this week too, you know. So go live accordingly. So go out into the world in the love of God who created you, in the peace of Christ who redeemed you, and in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit who will sustain you through everything. Amen. I will miss you.